Welcome to Tales from the Void. Today we delve into a grim chapter of Imperial history and ask the unsettling question, was the Codex Astartes a mistake? In this monologue we trace the origins of Guillemont's great tome, how it shattered the ancient Space Marine legions into 1,000 points of light, and how that very reorganization may have sown the seeds of the Imperium's later woes. We examine the Codex's noble intentions, its rigid dogma, and the unintended consequences that even Robuté Guillemont himself now quietly regrets. Strap in, because the future is dark, and the Emperor's finest may have blinded themselves with their own holy rulebook. The birth of the Codex. In the blood-soaked aftermath of the Horus heresy, the galaxy lay in ruin and distrust. The Emperor was entombed on the Golden Throne, the traitor legions either purged or lost to chaos, and the surviving loyal Primarchs and Space Marines were left to pick up the pieces. The loyalist legions had been decimated by civil war and corruption, and in their wake the High Lords of Terra assumed command. It was in this crucible that Robuté Guillemont, Primarch of the Ultramarines, and now Lord Commander of the Imperium, resolved never again to risk the Empire falling to the will of a single warlord. To that end, he distilled his strategic genius into the Codex Astartes. The Codex Astartes was, in the words of Imperial lore, a great and sacred tome of military organization, strategy, and tactics, written by Guillemont himself. It was intended as a guide for loyal Space Marines of all chapters, a compendium of doctrine from recruitment and training to battlefield tactics. Its sacred pages promised a future where the horrors of the heresy could never be repeated. The core of Guillemont's vision was this: never again shall one man wield the power of a legion. Instead, each of the mighty war legions would be broken into smaller, self-sufficient chapters of roughly 1,000. This decree, known as the Second Founding, took place in M31, about 7 years after the heresy. Every loyal Space Marine legion was severed at its heart. From the shell of each legion would spring dozens of successor chapters. One of these would retain the old name and heraldry. The Ultramarines begat many Ultramarine successors, while the rest took new names, homeworlds, and mantles. No first founding legionary would again command more than 1,000 battle brothers. In Guillemont's words, never again would one individual be able to command the awesome, terrifying power of an entire Space Marine Legion. This was the Codex's noblest purpose, to distribute the Emperor's Angels of Death across the Imperium so no one could rise to threaten mankind again. In Lexiconum's summary, the Codex became a sacred text to the majority of chapters, a tome containing everything a member of the Astartes would need to know to function. The Ultramarines, Guillemont's own legion, treated every rule of the Codex as holy writ. They drilled its chapters into memory so that entire companies collectively memorized the battle plan by rote. Even so, not all Primarchs were immediately convinced. Rogel Dorn of the Imperial Fists famously objected, calling Guillemont a coward for abandoning his brothers on Terra. For a tense week, the loyalty of the Fists and other legions hung in doubt. Only Dorn's begrudging acceptance of defeat prevented a new civil war. The Second Founding reshaped Imperial strategy. Instead of 18 massive legions, the galaxy would be defended by hundreds of smaller chapters, each a rock wall against the void. If Horus or another Primarch ever turned traitor again, the Codex's framers reasoned, the damage would be limited. In the decade after the heresy, Guillemont and the High Lords implemented the new order. Shipyards built fortress monasteries for each chapter, recruitment grew in far-flung worlds, and the old battle banners were raised anew under new names. The Imperium looked orderly again, with Space Marines ready to sprint to any crisis. But already fissures appeared. Not every chapter embraced the Codex with equal fervor. The Dark Angels and their successors clung to old Caliban traditions in their organization, holding on to esoteric rituals from their First Legion past. The Space Wolves refused it outright. They retained 12 legendary great companies and 7 Swift Claws instead of the 10-company, 1,000-man model. Their beloved Primarch Leman Russ had taught different lessons, and the Wolves kept faith with those instead of Guilliman's new manual. In short, the Imperium had become less monolithic, but also more culturally fragmented. In theory, decentralization was fine. Chapters were meant to act like vigilant sentinels on distant frontiers. In practice, it meant every chapter became its own warband, complete with pride, rivalries, and quirks. Blood Angels, Salamanders, White Scars. Each took the Codex's skeleton and lent their own muscle. Some in the Inquisition grumbled that chapters now acted more like petty noble houses than a unified army. As one Lexiconum account notes, some chapter founders even mocked Guilliman's insistence. The Scion of the Flesh-Tearers called it amusing that Guilliman, absent from Terra during the siege, dared to impose restrictions on his veterans. Clearly, the spirit of Horus's rebellion lingered even amid obedience. Decentralization and isolation became hallmarks of Imperial defense. Space Marines now rarely fought en masse. No single officer could summon a planet's entire fleet of 1,000 Marines on a whim. Instead, sectors relied on coordinated appeals to many chapter masters. When one chapter answered, dozens might sit idle on other fronts. Borders and warp routes could fall silent for years without the Imperial Fists or Blood Angels noticing if the very chapter guarding them slipped. In the Great Rift era, these gaps would prove deadly. Ritual over flexibility. Of course, every doctrine has its tedium. Guilliman's Codex was anything but a short pamphlet. It was pages long. Every Space Marine was drilled to follow it. His Codex prescribed detailed organization of a chapter. How many companies, squads, and specialists. Uniform tactics for every fighting style, even how muster boards and librarius training should run. For the first millennium, this likely made sense. The Empire had more pressing threats. The upheavals of the Horus Heresy itself, the Beast Wars, and other Xenos incursions. A unified doctrine gave a weary Imperium something to cling to, a common identity among the Brotherhood of Angels. But over 10,000 years, that rigidity hardened into dogma. The Codex was meant as a guide, but too many chapter masters treated it as an inflexible law. Each generation memorized it further, and each new rule added another layer. A fragment of Emperor's Pariah Knight might have pointed out that if every chapter fought exactly alike, they became predictable. Indeed, legend tells of the Tau studying captured Codex documents and noting that the Astartes' minds were readable with enough exposure. In any case, tradition often trumped creativity. Need an ad hoc purge after a civil rebellion on a border world? Better consult the Codex first, to be sure the heavy bolter is 3 centimeters above the belt buckle. Need a flash new tactic to counter Eldar psykers? Check the scrolls of Guilliman. Meanwhile, the myriad minor decrees meant each chapter took years to master. Some turned the Codex into ritual. For instance, the Blood Angels' successor chapters had to add Codex exceptions to cope with the Red Thirst and Black Rage. The Space Wolves outright ignored parts. Others engaged in subtle one-upmanship. My chapter has a 10th company so I can be more versatile. Or, we wear horns on our helmets because our Primarch wore horns. The vaunted flexibility of 10 independent captains became entrenchment in 10 competing traditions. The guardsmen in the trenches might wonder how these 1,000-man super soldiers managed to bicker over paint schemes while legions of tyrannids or chaos demons swarmed unchecked on other worlds. Worse, the Codex was ignorant of threats conceived after the Dark Crusade. Tyranids and Necrons were barely known in 31st millennium. The warp itself was considered a tool rather than a wild void to tear the galaxy. Faced with a Xenocide hive fleet, even multitudes of Codex chapters found themselves overmatched. Consider the Beast Wars of M32, the greatest war ever saw the Imperium scrambling. The Codex still held. Thousands of orcs and a handful of chapters slugged it out regionally, but there was no grand strategic rewrite of Guilliman's book after the Imperial Navy convoys were slaughtered and billions of civilians died. The Imperium scraped by on stubborn defense and pockets of traitor fighters, not on any new dogma. The Codex didn't predict swarms the size of stars or rifts yanking real space apart. And when the Cicatrix Maledictum rent the galaxy in two, the Imperial response was largely piecemeal. Sectors nearest the warp rift had to defend themselves with whatever they had, since calling for central support was like shouting into the abyss. If the Legion's Astartes still existed, perhaps one Primarch and his armies could have sued for a galactic lifeline. Instead, we had the Indomitus Crusade in the 41st millennium, a gallant but desperate muster of many chapters under Guilliman himself. Yet, it was a patch-up job, reinforcements and siege ships, not a Codex chapter recalled to reunite broken space. In other words, scale defeats Codex. When your chapter's 1,000 Marines hold Cadia, but 5 sectors away, the Warp Devil tears at Terra's defenses, the Codex rules become cold comfort. Guilliman awakens from his 1,000-year slumber and finds the Imperium in dire straits. The very text he authored lies scattered in codices, treasured by some, dusty relic to others, even forbidden to most Imperial civilians. Horrified by what time wrought, Guilliman bends the rules he once set. He commissions a Codex Imperialis to overhaul civic life, showing that military dogma was no longer his only concern. For Space Marines, he allows updates. He embraces the Primaris Marines, an entirely new breed crafted by Archmagos Call with the Emperor's blessing. These Primaris are bigger, stronger, and multiply faster, drawn from 21 Primarch gene seed samples. The data was secreted away for millennia, but now hundreds of fresh Battle Brothers emerge across countless chapters, and entirely new Primaris armies are founded. Remarkably, Guilliman still nominally keeps the 1,000 per chapter rule, yet in practice he relaxes it. In the revised Indomitus Era Codex, he permits chapters to field extra squads and weapons teams on top of the old maximum. He sends crusade fleets with many more Marines than any single original chapter mustered. The Indomitus Crusade itself, a galaxy-spanning mobilization, looks more like a reborn Great Crusade than anything the Codex foresaw. Whole legions of Primaris Marines sail alongside Loyalist Stout Guard, free to exceed a strict count so long as they remain on crusade. In effect, Guilliman is quietly tearing down his own design in combat. Still, Guilliman will not fully call back the Legion's Astartes. As one tongue-in-cheek Q&A, unofficial fan lore, has him reply, "Legions, warp no. All that power under one man is how we got the heresy." A bit on the nose, but it captures his regret. He admits to privately yes when asked if he regrets the Codex and that he's working on its replacement. In canon terms, we see it in the grim necessity of these changes. The Imperium could no longer afford static 1,000-man chapters guarding little pockets. Guilliman struck out to weld them together again, creating ad hoc task forces for each crusade, and accepting that sometimes thousands must be commanded by one man. Yet this ad hoc revision highlights a broader failure. The Imperium never learned to truly adapt. Instead of questioning the Codex, most chapters just did it anyway. They seized fugitives, recruited from any source, even merged struggling chapters off book. Many space marines now roll in tons of Primaris muscle as auxiliary companies, something Codex Filigree doesn't explicitly forbid once the Primarch deems it necessary. The Imperium's politics remain baroque, but its military grudgingly shifts form. The creation of the Primaris and the Indomitus Crusade were acts of desperation, not triumphs of bureaucracy. In many quarters, today's capitals and chapels whisper that the Codex Astartes was meant as guidance, not gospel. Long ago, Guillemin envisioned it as a living manual, but 10 millennia of orthodoxy froze it solid. His resurrection books hint he views the old Codex as a starting point, now replaced by new rules for a galaxy gone mad. Indeed, he's drafting the Codex Imperialis to fix the bigger problem of human governance, implicitly admitting that purely military reform, like the Codex Astartes, wasn't enough. The necessity of Primaris Marines and the creation of forces larger than one chapter speaks volumes about how inflexible tradition had strangled the Imperium's strategic options. Conclusion: A Call to Arms. In the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, blind faith in the Codex Astartes looks, with hindsight, like both a virtue and a vice. Guillemin's golden vision did indeed prevent another Horus heresy, until it arguably hampered victory in wars no one foresaw. The Emperor's angels sacrificed their glorious unity for safety, only to find isolation cost them dearly. The Imperium still trusts that, as written in the Codex, so shall it be, even as the galaxy itself tears apart. So judge for yourself, Adeptus listener. The Codex Astartes was born of necessity, but like all rigid doctrines, it also froze the Imperium's response in amber. The reforms of M41 prove that even its author had to bend or break it to save mankind. Whether that was Guillemin's regret or triumph, the question lingers. Are we safer because of the Codex, or were we always better off when one ultramarine by his might could sweep armies away? Thanks for joining this deep dive into Imperial history. If you enjoyed this dark tale from the far future, forge a vote of approval with a like, and warp back soon for more tales from the void. The Emperor protects, at least for now. If this transmission reached your Vox channel usefully, subscribe to Tales from the Void for more grimdark lore and analysis. Share this with your battle brothers, hit the bell icon, and leave a comment below. Until next time, remember, the darkness will always return, but so will our legends.